I'm Stephen John Drew from Better Podcasting, a podcast about podcasting, part of the Gunna Geek Network. Just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find fantastic geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
I am the Green Arrow.
The Green Arrow has entered through the front door.
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper. We call it the Starling Tribune, and tonight we welcome back home the Black Canary. I am the Chief Editor, SP, and your other reporters for this episode 237 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
Aren't you supposed to be on your little spaceship or something?
Yeah, that's the way to call it, little spaceship. It only has one bathroom. One bathroom.
It's a little spaceship, then.
And Michelle.
Like taking candy from a very rich baby.
Like any good thief will say. This podcast is recorded on Thursday, April 18th, 2019, live on www.geeks.live.
That's right, and this evening we'll be discussing Arrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could, and probably will, impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as the greater television universe. So that means The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Black Lightning, and everything else are fair game.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. After the show, you can check out our content at GunnaGeek.com, where you can also find other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles.
Yes, welcome if you are new to the show. And thank you, Michelle and Chris. Michelle, let's just go ahead and get right down into it. Why don't you break down the current episode for us?
This episode is called Lost Canary. It's Season 7, Episode 18. It aired Monday, April 15, 2019. Directed by Kristen Wendell. Credits include 4 Arrow, 2 Blind Spot, and 1 Legend. Written by Joe Blankenship. Credits include 4 Arrow and 7 of the Last Ship. And Elisa Delson. Credits include 1 Arrow, 1 Tree Hill, and 1 Everwood.
I geeked out when I saw this creative team. Kristen and Jill are great. And it's Eliza, right? Eliza? How do you say her name?
Yeah, I think I said Eliza, right?
Alexa doesn't even know. Go figure. I was saying it because I didn't know if I was saying it correctly. So, okay. So Eliza is brand new, but I know that this team has worked really well with Kristen and Jill, and I'm looking forward to anything new that they have coming on as well. Now, we do run down the weekly ratings of all these CW shows this past week. There were only three because Supergirl did not have an episode on Sunday, and of course, Black Lightning is over with for the year. So we started off on Monday, the 15th of April, with Legends of Tomorrow, Season 4, Episode 11, Science and Sensibility. And that was to a live rating of 0.98. Arrow moved back in the time slot an hour, then followed Legends of Tomorrow, so it aired the 7th episode of the 18th season to a live rating of 0.71. This is not the lowest rating we've ever seen with the show, but it is disheartening that it fell below one. And then Flash on Tuesday, the 16th of April, aired the 18th episode of the 5th season called Godspeed to a live rating of 1.31. I think it's spring break. I think that's what we got going on here, guys.
Also, they took this break, and I think people are just getting used to going on Netflix or whatever and getting content straight in a row and taking all of these breaks. And there's also a time change, the flipping of Arrow and Legends on top of that. I think all of that combined is why we have the ratings we have.
It's just so sad, right? They had a formula that was semi-working. It was getting better throughout the year, and then they changed it up. But on the other hand, I mean, what are they going to do? They got to try something, right? Oh, well, we will keep track of the ratings as they go for the rest of the season. We have, after this, it's 5 more episodes of Arrow for the rest of this season, then 10 more episodes. So 15 episodes left of Arrow, ever. 15 episodes. All right. So now that we got the ratings behind us, we're going to talk about the episode in its entirety, and we start talking about the general theme for the episode. The general theme we link to the title of the episode, which in this case is Lost Canaries. Michelle, what do you got for a title and a theme?
Well, this show was all about the ladies. Even the logo changed to the canary symbol, which I love.
That was pretty cool.
We have one lost canary with Laurel Lance sliding back into her black siren ways. And in the future, I call them archer hunters, or hunters equipped with like these helmets, I think with the archer program. They're out killing canaries and destroying their nest. So we're getting lost canaries that way as well.
Now, would you think that Mia is a lost canary, even though she's never been a canary? Do you think she's a lost canary at this point?
No, I think she's being her dad.
She's a lost arrow.
Okay.
She's being that, I can only do this alone, Oliver Queen thing.
That was a pretty good imitation of Stephen Amell there. You think he can do it again?
You have failed this city.
Well, see, there you go. There's the two quotes that you need to know.
I'll buy it.
Yeah, there we go. Well done, Michelle. All right, Chris, we're going to talk about the fights because, well, that's what you and I like to geek out on, the fights. So what do you got for this episode in the fights?
So we start things out. The first fight scene, rather, is in the hallway. We see Laurel returned in her black siren outfit, and she just wrecks some hired help, like some really good arm breakage in there, too, that they kind of slow-moed around and panned around as she snapped the one dude's arm. It was kind of brutal. Kind of brutal. And then you get reminded, oh yeah, she has powers as she uses her sonic scream at the end.
So, sonic screams. We're going to have to talk about it in this episode. Yeah, sonic screams. Michelle, what do you think about the sonic screams and the watch, smart device, whatever you want to call it, that was given to us?
You know, in another fight, you know, when Dinah finds Black Siren and Shadow Thief, we hear that sound and the glass breaks and we get Sarah Lance coming in her white canary suit and me just sitting there going, yay. I really like that fight when Laurel throws a knife and Sarah knocks it away. And then again, Laurel uses her cry to help them get away and such. I like the return of the device. That I thought was a great callback. And I almost was like, oh yeah, that's what she used. Because it's different than the actual canary cry, is because that is an artificial one. Sarah actually used that device and it's an artificial one, while Black Sirens is an actual meta power.
I think this will allow Dinah to bring the canary cry into the future. And I think that's really why we were given it, was that I've been speculating that her throat might get better over time. But I think that with the watch reappearing, it's pretty cut and dry. She's not going to get her power back, and she's just going to have to use the watch from here on in. That's what I think. But I think it's cool that they brought it back. You know it's coming. It's not going to stay on the sidelines. You know it's going to be used in the future.
Well, it made sense to bring this tech out of mothballs, because we've known about it since the Earth One Laurel was Black Canary, because that's where her powers came from. So why they didn't think about it sooner to give Dinah a way to have her cry back if she so chooses to, because again, we haven't seen her use it in the future or any indication she's wearing it as a necklace or anything like that. But it's nice to see the tech back.
So as far as the fights go, I mean, it was cool, especially at the end when they were stealing the weapon back, basically at the end of protecting the weapon. I think that was a cool fight. I mean, cool concept would probably be more appropriate. I mean, the whole fight, it was, I had it one issue after another. I was nitpicking the fight. And I don't know if that's fair or not, because I don't know if this has just been the way it's been all season. I just noticed it this episode, but like, they're cowering from bullets behind a shelf that's open. So they can obviously be shot at through the shelf, and yet they're playing it safe. Like, they're not getting shot. So there's that. Also, when Felicity exits, they set off the bomb and they exit everything. Felicity, the pregnant one, is the last one out. She's the closest to the door when it goes off. And then there is no cool girls don't look at explosions, because as they're walking off, Felicity looks back a couple of times. So I don't, maybe it was just me nitpicking it.
It was not just you. I was expecting more of knockdown, kick out fights. We have Sarah, who is a league trained assassin. We actually got that call back when she had that great conversation with Black Siren. Black Siren is a ruthless killer. We have Dinah, who's trained. Those three alone, it really should have been. I was expecting a lot more ninja action, a lot more rough and tumble, more Dinah with her bow staff. We've seen more action from Dinah when she's with Team Arrow than we did in this episode. And I, too, was very disappointed that we had the realistic result of an explosion for them instead of, I mean, they had the cool walk off, you know, into the night down the street, but they didn't get the, you know, yeah, it should have been cool girls walking with the explosion behind them saying, "We took care of business, booyah."
I will say there was one time in there, and it could have just been a phenomenal editing job. The Katie Lotz is just going after this one person. And I will say Katie Lotz, the actress, is just going after one of the bad guys. And I think it was her. I don't think it was a stunt person, because as she whipped around this guy and then landed, it was her face. And it didn't look like there was a cut at all. So I will say that they did probably do, I don't know if all of them did, but they did do their own stunts. So, I mean, that was at least impressive. That's always impressive to me when an actor will do their own stunts. And I know there's some insurance reasons why you might not want to. People get hurt. I mean, Michelle and I are hosts of The Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And there was this one scene, when was it? Season 3 or season 4, when one of the characters broke both of her wrists during a stunt. So there are dangers to doing all this, but it's cool when it happens. So anything more about the fights, Chris?
I tend to agree with you guys. They're not the best fights we've seen all year. I kind of wish for some more intensity to it, but hey, I'll take what I can get.
So we had some flash forwards in this episode, which actually jarred me a little bit because it just went right into it without any context. And again, I'm not sure if that's been the way it has been all season, but I really noticed it at the start of this one.
Yeah, it didn't really feel like it fit in the grand scheme of things, but I think we're at the point in the season where they've got to keep doing the flash forwards. You can't always elegantly segue into them.
Well, they're doing the usual, here's an object from the present, and it corresponds to an object in the future. They did that like at the beginning when Felicity knocks over the water bottle, mm-hmm. and then it transitions to trash, and then we get into the future.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the transition. What I had a problem with was once we transitioned there, we had Zoe and Mia that were trapped in this area that had some sort of, it looked like a mechanical beast going after them, so to speak, and I had no context for what that was, what they were trying to do, or anything. There was no explanation from any character, like over a radio or whatever. It's like, you guys need to get back to right away. All you get is them hiding and fighting. That's all you get. So it was just a jarring transition for me. Eventually you find out what's going on, but not right away when you transition into the future.
I got it. They were running from a bad guy. And then you hear over comms that Dinah's like, you guys need to come back. You know, this position's been lost, that position's been lost. And you see that whole, Zoe's like, we have to follow those orders. Mia's like, no, let's just take the guy down.
Right, and they argue about that and everything. And Zoe wins this one, but eventually Mia wins, but then she gets saved. So I don't know. Mia's still learning some things. You guys are right. She's being Oliver Queen in this episode.
Very much so.
Talking about Oliver Queen, this was another episode where he didn't have a highlight, although he had more than one scene, right, Michelle?
Well, I know it's important to the plot, him trying to get Emiko away from the Ninth Circle and Dante. I really think this could have been part of another episode, maybe the next episode, because I really wanted this to be about girl power, about all the Canaries, present and future. But yeah, I guess, you know, it's Arrow. People would expect him to show up. but I don't know. We got Kodiak again from the Longbow Hunters. We learned that, you know, there is that connection, which is not a big surprise to me. I don't know, Chris, were you surprised that, oh my goodness, the Longbow Hunters were connected? And
not really surprised. I honestly didn't recognize him at first, so I'm glad Diggle mentioned, hey, he's a Longbow Hunter. And I went, oh, yeah. So, yeah, I'd forgotten.
Yeah, and he was a Longbow Hunter that was alone. I thought they always traveled in the trio, but I guess not. And they did find out, they surmised, I don't think they found out, but they deducted that Dante was paying. So Dante is responsible for Emiko's mother's death.
Supposedly, and supposedly that's going to drive a wedge. Oliver's really putting a lot of his chips on this, hey, they killed your mom, now you can leave the Night Circle. I don't think it's going to work out the way he thinks it is.
Yeah, there's some wishful thinking coming into effect here, where he's like, well, if I do this, it's definitely going to happen. And I'm like, no, I don't think so.
It's kind of the same thing that philosophy. Felicity, she was philosophizing this episode, that Felicity went through with Laurel, right? Because she wanted to bring Laurel through the redemption arc, and we get a lot of references to that. But Felicity had her own spot of, it's going to work this way. And she's done this several times this season. It's not just the only time. It's part of her character. So I think there was some parallels to those in this episode with Oliver with his sister, Felicity with Laurel.
Yeah, her and Dinah had some interesting conversations about, you want to be a supportive friend, but where is that line? Where is your support basically going into an empty cause, or like you're just putting too much into it? And then, of course, personal responsibility.
How many people did Laurel kill in this episode? At least three, right?
Probably, yeah. I mean, those henchmen are probably toast. So that's at least three.
And then the dry cleaner guy.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah, so she was killing people pretty much left and right. I mean, that's a lot of people to be killing. And so there was no coming back. When she started doing that, I knew that there was no going back and that this was going to be Laurel's last episode.
It's not Laurel's last episode.
Wow. Well, sure. Certainly looked like it. Certainly looked like a...
They wanted us to think that it was.
Yeah. Certainly looked like a send-off episode.
But they really wanted a Black Sign redemption arc. And bringing in Sarah Lance, I think, was a good move. Because I had that great conversation at Quentin's grave. Sarah was like, I slept with my sister's boyfriend. My family thought I was dead. I joined the League of Assassins. And I did a whole bunch of other bad stuff. And if I can work through it, if I can stop running and start taking personal responsibility, then you can too.
Right. And if this had been the kind of conversation and path we'd seen Black Siren on, maybe I'd be a bit more invested in it. The redemption arc was, well, Quentin believed in me, so I'm going to pretend to be Laurel from this earth and not kill people. So that means I'm redeemed. So maybe she's actually set on a real path of redemption now. But I've said before, I did not buy the whole redemption arc of Black Siren throughout most of the season because it made no sense to me. It was like they're selectively forgetting. She's bad. She's a villain. She's killed lots of people. At least with that conversation with Sarah, it sets things forward. So I go, okay, I could sort of buy that from this point, she's making a decision not to do what's best for her, but to actually try and be a better person. Because everything she had done up until then, while she's being good, it wasn't to be good. It was because that positioned her better to be able to survive. Maybe I'm cynical.
No, it was very forced. What I did like about Sarah coming back, though, was she came back. I think we've talked about this season, but not in the context of this episode. So she came back for Quentin Lance in the hospital and never got to see him before he died, right? So I don't know if she stuck around for the funeral or not. Probably not. And so her meeting the closest thing she has to a sister, the only thing left she has as a family, well, I guess mom's still around, but we haven't seen her in a while, that to meet her at the gravesite, not once, but multiple times, I think brought a little bit of fan closure. Again, Beth Schwartz is trying to mend some of the wrongs that happened in the previous six seasons. I think this was one of them, to give Sarah that closure at the gravesite. So I'm glad they brought her back for that. And if this was their supposed Laurel Lance farewell episode, like you guys said, it's probably not going to happen. But if it was, then this would be a good time to bring Sarah in. So I think it was, it worked well. And I'm glad it worked well with the Legends of Tomorrow shooting schedule. I don't know. Was Legends of Tomorrow done probably by the time they got to this episode?
Maybe. Because they were only doing, well, they could have done it right after they filmed. Because isn't it only 18 episodes of Legends this season? And this is 18 of Arrow?
Yeah. So they could have done this right before she left. They could have... Beth Schwartz could have slotted this whole episode based on Katie Lotz's availability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we know this isn't Laurel's last episode because of what happens in the future. Laurel says she's going back to Earth 2 to make amends. And, you know, Mia doing the whole lone hero thing, trying to take down this guy, can't. All of a sudden, there's a canary cry. And there's Laurel and a couple of other canaries who take down the guy. So she's back. Or, this is my question. The Laurel that we see in the future, do we think that's Laurel coming back from Earth 2? Or is it a result from Crisis?
It could be both, but I was thinking of it as she came back from Earth 2.
That was the implication to me as well.
And I did think that this was it. She walked off with her canaries and then she was going to go back to Earth 2. That's what I thought, but you're right. It could be anything at this point.
I have read articles that have said that this is not her last episode, that she does appear in other episodes the rest of the season, so she must be in the future.
Okay. And they just didn't want to tip the hand off in the articles that she would still be around. But she's gone from current day.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
That's what we're led to believe when she's given the Black Canary suit as she's heading back to Earth 2 to try and be good.
Well, this was one thing that we brought up previously on the podcast, is that she wasn't in the future, so we were speculating that she might have died, and that has not happened. So this is good for Katie Cassidy, and I know she's your favorite actor, Chris. I do, but I think for fans, longtime fans of the show, this does play for it. And Beth Schwartz is big into longtime fans of the show. You can just tell everything that she's done, it's for the fans.
Oh, what gets me now is that Dinah created this great cover story. You know, they found evidence that cleared her from killing that gang guy. And then they were like, she went undercover to find evidence about Shadow Thief, making it clear for her to go back to her job. How are they going to explain her sudden disappearance?
Yeah. She's in jail? I don't know.
She just went off the grid. I mean, how many people get lost around Star City? A lot.
She gone.
Yeah.
I guess she's going to have to resign. At least this DA didn't die. She just resigns.
I just think she left. I don't think she resigned. They did call her the former DA on the news, so I think that chapter was closed on her, whether she wanted it to or not.
That means we get a new DA.
Yay, another one!
If they need a new DA in the next five episodes, yeah. I don't want to speculate on next season yet, because I don't know what's going to happen between now and the end of this season and the beginning of the final season. So I don't know if there's going to be a break in Star City, like Star City completely collapses or something like that. I have no idea. So it's difficult for me to say at this point whether they will bring in a new DA or not. I know the mayor is still around. You know, the mayor is probably going to become a bigger character in the final few episodes.
Yeah, because we got to figure out if the whole Glaze Rising happens now or sometime.
Yeah, later next season, maybe during Crisis. I don't know.
Your guess is as good as mine there. I have no clue either.
Chris, do you have anything else for this episode?
Not really. I mean, I wish it would have been a bit more interesting fight-wise, and I wish the whole redemption thing throughout all of this hadn't felt as forced to me. And that's been one of my complaints all along. Like I said, I like how they set up the redemption from this point going forward, because it actually comes across as a redemption arc of you can be better versus save your skin.
I do like the fact that this whole episode was a nod to the fans, the Birds of Justice. You know, that call was made by Felicity at the end of the episode. And other than that, it just felt a little maybe out of place a little bit. It was definitely off the normal path of the show. And I think, as I alluded to before, I think this was Beth Schwartz giving us something that was cool and just getting through it and possible off-ramp for Laurel Lance. So while that didn't happen in the show, it did happen in current time. Okay. Good. Check. We have 5 more episodes this season. Thank you for the episode, but beyond that, it wasn't momentous. I won't be keeping this one on the DVR. Let's just put it that way. Which is kind of sad, because on premise, it was a really cool episode. Michelle, what is your final thoughts?
I liked all the women power. I like when Dinah in the future said that she founded the Canaries as a network of women to support each other for those who fight. And even if they get, you know, knocked down, they come back up again. I thought that was interesting. We had Sarah Lance on the salmon ladder. That made me so happy.
Oh, yeah.
And the little flirtation between her and Felicity, that was kind of fun. I liked that.
Yeah. You were hitting on me. Yeah.
I was hoping for more fighting because of Sarah Assassin. I kind of was expecting more of, I guess, maybe like an action pack. They come together to go after someone bad together instead of the Force Redemption or something. I think they could have worked the redemption in with them all working together or something. I guess I wanted this to be more, really more Birds of Prey than it actually was. But I'm glad we had this episode. I was not completely disappointed. This is not a bad episode. It is not one of the worst. We've had worse.
Fair point.
Yeah.
But we got all the Canaries together. And in the end, it was great to see that.
It was. And we've been talking about this since season one, really. So I'm glad we finally got it on the screen. And another box checked for the fans. And you're right. It was not a bad episode. It's just not going to be one of the golden episodes. It's like, I was talking to somebody else earlier today. It's like, when I think of the next generation, Star Trek, the Next Generation, I think Best of Both Worlds, Part 1 and Part 2. I think Inner Light. I think episodes like that. When I think about Stargate SG-1, I think, what was it, the wormhole episode where they do the time loop?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And when I think of Battlestar Galactica, I think of Exodus 1 and 2, where you have the Battlestar Galactica actually going down, falling down through the atmosphere of the planet and launching Vipers and stuff like that. It's a pretty cool episode for me. And those are like the key episodes. With Arrow, this won't be that episode, but it's still a cool episode. It just won't be one that I will, if I'm going to watch one episode, it won't be this episode. Not for me. It might be for somebody, but not for me. Michelle, what do we have on us next week?
Next week is Spartan. It's season 7, episode 19. It airs Monday, April 22nd, 2019. After the Ninth Circle delivers a major setback for Team Arrow, Diggle reluctantly reaches out to a 4-star general of the Defense Intelligence Agency, guest star Ernie Hudson, for help, despite unresolved tension from their past. Meanwhile, Oliver discovers a piece of information that he believes will turn Emiko against the Ninth Circle. Elena returns with an interesting proposal for Felicity, directed by Avi Yubayan, written by Benjamin Robb and Derek A. Hughes.
Looking forward to that. And bonus points for the writers that they put a Twinkie in the episode.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, that's it for this week. We don't have any news this week, so we're not going to go through the whole news spiel. But we will keep our eyes out on further news. You know, we've had a lot of big news hit this show lately with the departure of Felicity, with the announcement that next season will be the last season, so on and so forth. So I'm just guessing they need a couple of weeks off to reel from all that as they've wrapped up production and they look forward to airing the last episodes of the season. But Chris, if people do want to hear news from other avenues of geekdom, where would you recommend they look into?
So I'd recommend you go check out the Gunna Geek Network. And this week I'm going to shamelessly self-promote one of my own shows, but because we had a really good guest on that actually potentially gave us a pretty good scoop that I haven't seen many other places. And that's an episode 356 of the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast entitled Good Old Funny Muffin Nelson. So Sailor Poland joined us again this week. I'm not going to read the promo read on it because the important thing is this. He had a scoop on Star Trek Picard series, and what he has heard is going to be the conceit behind how it's going to work. And it's very interesting. If you were expecting something not Discovery-like, that's not dealing with the darker side of Starfleet, you might not like what's going to happen. So if you want to find out more about what the rumored plans are for Star Trek's Picard series, go check out episode 356 of the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast. Sailor Poland drops all that knowledge on us, including afterwards a little bit of analysis of the Joker trailer, because that's what he originally wanted to come on and talk about, and then he got this scoop and was like, well, I gotta share it with you guys. So Star Trek Picard scoop, go check it out. Episode 356 is the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast. You can find it and all the other shows in the Gunna Geek Network over at gunnageek.com.
Looking forward to listening to that. I haven't had a chance to listen to that yet because I was at Star Wars Celebration on Sunday.
That's a good reason not to have heard it yet. Yeah. But that being said, it is time for us to start wrapping this show up. So a big thank you to everyone over on Geeks.live, the official streaming home of the Gunna Geek Network, who has been checking out this week's episode. But also a thank you to everyone who catches the audio episodes over at StarringTribune.com or the video replays over at YouTube.com/GunnaGeek.
If you happen to have an Amazon device, you can enable our podcast as a skill and go to any named episode, any numbered episode. You can just tell the A word to take you to episodes such and such of Starling Tribune, and it will go right there. We also have a Discord server, which Michelle has been posting a lot of these news alerts on. It's at GunnaGeek.com/Discord. So when anything important's been happening in any fandom, usually it's Michelle that's popping in there with the URL link so you can go and read the article. It's pretty cool. So thank you very much for that, Michelle.
It's fun.
Yep. And once again, that's at GettaGeek.com/Discord. And remember, you can always catch us live as we record at www.geeks.live at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific on Thursdays, except for next week, because we're all going to be at Endgame.
Whatever it takes.
We would love to hear from you. We are the Starling Tribune on Facebook and Instagram, at Starling Tribune on Twitter, and you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Well, this brings us to the end of another great episode. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag I want a canary pin.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag do they say Hoss on Earth too?
If I could reach through the internet and wring your neck for that one, Chris, I would.
That's such a wonderful saying to me. I appreciate it. That means I'm hitting a chord, and that's what I like to hear.
You are hitting a chord. I wish we would drop this, Hoss, but you continue to not drop it.
I'm working on it, Hoss.
All right.
And I am at Michelle Ely signing off with hashtag canaries in leather. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at gunnageek.com or check out our archive at starlingtribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.